الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Rasul of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has said, Reciting Salat upon me is Nur on the bridge of Sirat. The one who recites Salat upon me 80 times on Friday, his sins of 80 years will be forgiven. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in the last episode of Fear of Allah Almighty, we discussed the harms of bad company. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, in this episode, I will discuss the first night in the grave. Once the famous Tabi'i saint, Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, was sitting at his doorstep when a funeral procession passed by. He also got up and followed behind the procession. In the funeral procession, there was a young girl who was running whilst crying hysterically and exclaiming, Oh beloved father, today I have encountered an unprecedented ordeal. When Sayyidina Hassan Basri heard her painful voice, tears rolled down his cheeks. Overwhelmed with pity, he affectionately stroked the bereaving orphan's head before remarking, Oh daughter, in fact, it is your deceased father who is encountering an unprecedented ordeal, not you. The next day, he saw the same little girl crying on her way to the graveyard. He, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, followed her with the hope of gaining some spiritual admonition. Upon reaching the graveyard, she embraced the grave of her father. Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, hid behind the bushes. The little girl wept with her cheek on her father's grave and said, Oh beloved father, how did you spend your first night in your dark grave without a lamp or a companion? Oh beloved father, yesterday night I lit the lamp for you at home. Who lit the lamp in the grave last night? Oh beloved father, yesterday night I laid out your bedding at home. Who laid out your bedding in the grave last night? Oh beloved father, yesterday night I massaged your hands and feet at home. Who massaged your hands and feet in the grave last night? Oh beloved father, yesterday night at home I gave you water to drink. Who offered you water last night when you were thirsty and asked for some water? Oh beloved father, yesterday night I spread a shawl over your body. Who spread it last night? Oh beloved father, yesterday night I wiped the sweat off your face. Who wiped your sweat last night in the grave? Oh beloved father, till yesterday night I came to your assistance whenever you summoned me. Whom did you call out to last night in your grave? And who answered your call? Oh beloved father, yesterday night when you were hungry, I presented food to you. Who served you food last night in the grave when you became hungry? Oh beloved father, till yesterday night I cooked various meals for you. Who cooked for you on your first night in the grave? Hearing those grief-stricken words of the sorrowful and distressed girl, Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, began to cry. And after approaching her said, Oh daughter, do not say like that. Rather say this, Oh beloved father, at the time of burial, your face was turned towards the Qibla. Is it still in the same direction, or has your face been turned in the opposite direction? Oh beloved father, you are wrapped in a clean and unsoiled shroud and then buried. Is it still clean and unsoiled? Oh, beloved Father, you are placed into the grave with your body sound and intact. Is your body still intact, or have the insects eaten it away? Oh, beloved Father, scholars of Islam say that during the first night of the grave, the deceased are asked questions about their faith, and some of them will be able to answer, whereas some will be in despair. Did you give the correct answers to those questions, or have you failed? Oh, beloved Father, scholars say that for some people, the grave becomes spacious, whereas for some, it is narrowed. Has your grave become spacious, or has it been narrowed? Oh, beloved Father, scholars say that the shroud of some is replaced by a heavenly shroud, whereas for some, it is replaced by a shroud of the hellfire. Has your shroud been replaced with the heavenly one, or with one made up of fire? Scholars say that the grave hugs some in the way a mother hugs her lost child with affection, holding him to her chest, whereas it violently squeezes others in such a way that their ribs smash and intertwine with each other. Did the grave hug you gently like a mother, or did it crush and shatter your ribs? Our beloved Father, scholars say that when the deceased is buried, he feels regrets for one or two reasons. If he is pious, he regrets not doing more virtuous deeds. And if he is sinful, he regrets for committing those sins. O beloved Father, were you regretful of performing less virtuous deeds or of committing sins? O beloved Father, till yesterday, when I would call out to you, you would respond to me. How unfortunate I am today that I am standing right next to your grave, calling out to you, but I am unable to hear your reply. O beloved Father, you have parted from me in such a way that now we cannot meet until the day of judgment. O most merciful Rabb Azza wa Jal, do not deprive me of meeting my beloved Father on the day of judgment. Upon hearing the words of Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, the little Madani girl said, O my master, your words of advice have awoken me from the sleep of heedlessness. After that, with tears flowing from her eyes, she returned back with Sayyidina Hassan Basri, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. My dear viewers, all of you would have certainly visited graveyards at one or another occasion. Did you ever reflect on the message of the mournful air and the grief-filled atmosphere calling out, Oh, those who are content with the luxuries of this world, every single one of you will have to come here in solitude one day or another, and will have to go into the deep ditch of the grave. These graves, which seem identical from outside, are not necessarily the same from the inside. Yes, if the one buried under this pile of soil would have offered his salah regularly, observed siyam in Ramadan al-Mubarak, performed the i'tikaf for the entire month of Ramadan, or at least the last 10 days, would have loved the month of Ramadan, giving full zakah, in the case of it becoming farther than him, earned halal income, would have been contented with just a sufficient amount of halal income, would have recited the Holy Quran, performed the nawafil of tahajjud, ishraq, chashed and awabin, would have been humble and possessing a good character, kept a fist-length beard according to the Sharia, adorned the crown of the imamah, the sunnah turban, was a follower of the sunnah, obeyed his mother and father, fulfilled the rights of the people, had love for Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam, would have been an ardent admirer of the Sahaba, the Ahlul Bayt and the Awliya, then by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal and his Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his grave, which appears to be just a heap of soil outwardly, might have been extended as far as the eye can see, with the window of Jannah opened inside it, and underneath the apparent heap of soil, there might be a beautiful garden of paradise. On the other hand, if the one buried underneath that similar heap of soil was such a person who had not offered salah, had intentionally missed the siyam of Ramadan, had disturbed worshipping or sleeping Muslims during the nights of Ramadan by playing or encouraging games such as cricket, had been stingy in paying zakah despite it being fard on him, had earned haram income, had taken part in dealings involving interest and bribery, had not paid back in his debts, had drunk alcohol, had been involved in gambling, had operated alcohol and gambling dens, had hurt the feelings of Muslims without the valid reasons of Sharia, terrorized Muslims into paying illegal gang taxes, kidnapped Muslims for ransom, committed theft or robbery, had been fraudulent with public trusts, unlawfully usurped land, oppressed helpless farmers, unleashed storms of injustice and terror whilst blinded by greed for power, shaved the beard or trimmed it to less than a fist length, watched films and dramas, listened to music, was habitual of swearing, told lies, committed backbiting, did tale-telling, committed slander, thought ill of people and had been arrogant or disobeyed his parents, then it is possible that underneath this seemingly serene heap of soil, he is in the state of distress, with the window of hell open, fire smouldering inside the grave, snakes and scorpions clinging onto his body, and an outcry of screams and yelling inaudible to humans. Modavius, look at the deserted scenes of these graveyards and ponder over whether one of us, whilst living, could spend just one night in the graveyard alone. Perhaps no one could dare. So when we are afraid to spend one night in the graveyard alone, whilst living, then after death, when all our friends and relatives will leave us and our intellect will be intact, we will see and hear everything, but we will be unable to move or speak. How will we be able to stay alone in the grave in such an alarming state? Our state is such that even if you are imprisoned alone in a beautiful air-conditioned villa, we will become scared. Modavius, believe me, the people buried in the graveyard are today advising us and calling out, "Oh, heedless people, remember, yesterday, we too were there." In other words, in the world, where you are today. And tomorrow, you too will be here. In other words, in the grave, where we are today. Certainly, whoever has been born into this world has to die. Whoever picked up the flowers of life must be pricked by the thorns of death. Whoever enjoyed the pleasures of the world eventually received the displeasure of death. My dear viewers, certainly we have come into this world in a particular order. In other words, first the grandfather, then father, then son, then the grandson. However, this order is not necessarily the order of death. The old grandfather may be still alive, but the infant grandson might have embraced death. Somebody's adolescent might have suffered an accident leading to his death. Someone's paternal grandmother may have died and been taken away to the graveyard, and someone's maternal grandmother may have passed away. Just like these relatives of ours who have passed away, we too will have to leave this world suddenly someday. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an has stated, "Shall I not tell you of those 2 days and two nights?" Number one, one day is the day on which the one coming from Allah Azza wa Jal will reach you with either the glad tidings of the pleasure of your Rabb Azza wa Jal or with the message of his displeasure. And number two, the second day is the day on which you will be presented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to take your record of deeds. And that record of deeds will either be given to you in your right hand or in your left hand. And the two nights are number one. The first night is the one which the deceased will spend in his grave, and he will never have experienced a night like it ever before. And number two, the second is the night before the morning of Judgment Day, after which there shall never be another night again. Let's reflect on the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, that our beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had as regards to the grave, although he had been definitely blessed with deliverance, and in fact he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the means of our deliverance. Sayyiduna Bara bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, "We participated in a funeral with the noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The holy Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sat at the edge of a grave and cried so much that the soil became wet. Then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, 'Make preparations for this.' Whenever Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an used to visit somebody's grave, he would shed tears to such an extent that his blessed beard would become wet. It was asked of him, 'You do not cry when paradise and hell are mentioned, but you weep a lot by the graves. What is the reason for this?' He radiallahu ta'ala an replied, 'I heard from the blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the first stage of the afterlife is the grave. If the deceased attains deliverance at this stage, then the subsequent matters are easier than this. And if he does not receive deliverance at this stage, then the matters after it are more severe.'" My dear viewers, did you see how much Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala an would fear Allah Azza wa Jal? He radiallahu ta'ala an is from amongst the Ashra Mubashara. In other words, those 10 fortunate companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, who were guaranteed with the glad tidings of paradise, in particular from the blessed tongue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself. He is the one from whom even the innocent angels would feel shyness. Despite that, he would remain so frightened of the horrors, the loneliness and the darkness of the grave. We, on the other hand, have completely forgotten our grave. Despite witnessing funerals every other day, we never consider the reality that one day we will also be the center of a funeral procession. Funerals definitely play the role of silent preachers. This silent message has been captured, O devotees of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. How regretfully sad. We see others being lowered into the grave, but we forget that we too will be lowered into the grave one day. Our fragility is such that if the electricity fails at night, our heart becomes anxious. Especially when we are alone, we become extremely afraid. But despite all this, we do not worry about the extreme darkness of the grave. We are failing in offering salah, observing the siyam of Ramadan al-Mubarak, paying our full zakah, despite it being compulsory on us, and fulfilling the rights of our parents. Our days and nights are being spent in sins, but undoubtedly the time of death is fixed and it is not possible to delay it. Even if you continue committing sins like this and the call of death arise suddenly to shift us into the ditch of the grave, how will we get through the first night of the grave? Man often makes long plans, but his focus does not remain on the fact that the reins of life are in the hands of someone else. When the reins will be pulled suddenly and he will have to die, all those plans will be destroyed. In this regard, it has been said that a young man from Madinatul Awliya, Multan, left his homeland, his city and his family to settle in a distant country in his quest for wealth. He would earn a lot of money and send it to his family members. Based on a mutual agreement, his family decided to have a splendid mansion built. This young man would send money year after year, and his relatives would have work done on the construction of the house and its decoration up until the day when the splendid mansion was completed. When that young man came back to his home country, preparations to shift into the magnificent mansion were in full swing. But just a week before moving into that splendid mansion, the young man passed away, and instead of moving into the splendid and luxurious mansion, he was shifted into the dark and gloomy grave. It is regretfully sad that most of us have become intoxicated with worldliness and have forgotten to reflect on the afterlife. Some of those amongst us are so excited and blissful due to being lost in the pleasures of this perishing world that they have become unconcerned with the inevitable destructions of this world. Unaware of the concept of death, completely sunk in the pleasures of this world, some have become oblivious of the certainty of death and so engrossed in availing the luxuries and comforts of this world that they have forgotten the horrors, the darkness and the loneliness of the grave. Today all of our efforts are being spent just to improve the quality of our worldly lives. Concern for the afterlife is rarely seen. Just ponder for a second. How many well-off people have passed away from this world who had forgotten the solitude of the grave due to being engaged in money-making, craving fame and status, in short-lived friend circles, and in rejoicing flattery committed by subordinates. However, the clouds of mortality came into action. The winds of death blew, and the hopes of staying long in the world burst like a bubble. Death deserted their houses. It dragged them from their high mansions and palaces and shifted them into the dark and gloomy graves. Until yesterday, those people were happy and jubilant amongst the bliss of their families, but today they are grief-stricken and sorrowful within the horror and loneliness of their graves. A person who is taken in by the deception of this mortal world and becomes completely heedless of death, despite seeing the vulnerability of this world, will surely be regretful. Certainly, the one who falls prey to the deception of worldliness and forgets his death, the grave and resurrection, and does not perform deeds to get the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, is worthy of condemnation. Warning us of this deception, our Creator Azza wa Jal has stated in Ayah 5 of Surah Al-Fatiha, translation, O mankind, undoubtedly, the promise of Allah is true. Never let the life of the world deceive you, and let not the arch deceiver deceive you regarding the command of Allah. My dear viewers, one who is well aware of the reality of death and the post-death proceedings can never desire worldliness. Have you ever seen anyone preparing furniture to be placed into the grave of the deceased? Have you ever seen air conditioning being fitted in the grave, a safe being placed there to keep money, or cabinets made there to adorn trophies won in sports and certificates of worldly achievements? You have never seen this, and such acts are not permissible in the Sharia anyway. So when we will have to leave everything here, of what benefit will these educational degrees be to us? How will the wealth for which we work so hard and struggled for our entire lives help us? Ultimately, how will the status on the basis of which we displayed arrogance and pride ever come to our aid? My dear viewers, there's still time. We need to come to our senses and prepare for the grave and the afterlife. It is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah that the noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam held my shoulder and said, live in this world as if you are a traveler. Sayyidina ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah used to say, when evening falls, do not wait for the following morning, and when morning comes, do not wait for the evening. Prepare for illness whilst you are healthy, and make preparations for death whilst you are alive. In the final sermon of Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an, he said, Allah Azza wa Jal has granted you this world for the sole purpose to cultivate for the afterlife through its means. And He Azza wa Jal did not grant it to you for you to become lost in it. Without doubt, this world is destined to perish, and the hereafter is everlasting. Make sure that the perishing world does not divert you and make you heedless of the everlasting afterlife. Do not give precedence of the perishing worldly life over the everlasting afterlife, because the world will be cut off. And without doubt, we have to return to Allah Azza wa Jal. Fear Allah Azza wa Jal, because fearing Him is a shield from His punishment and a means of approaching Him. My dear viewers, the example of this world is like that of a pathway. We can reach the destination after crossing it, Now the destination is either paradise or hellfire. This all depends on how we have made this journey in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or in non-compliance. Therefore, if you want to win the bounties of paradise and stay away from the punishment of hellfire, then we must strive to reform ourselves and the people of the entire world, inshallah Azza wa Jal. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us all the ability to prepare for afterlife. Give us all the ability that we prepare for the life of the grave. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.